Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Almighty God, who called Timothy, Titus, and Silas to be evangelists and teachers, and made them strong to endure hardship, strengthen us to stand fast in adversity and to live righteous and godly lives in this present time, that with sure confidence we may look for our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 48 responsively. Tricky.
You can do a solo.
Okay. Let us read Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12, responsively. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone
is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts for him, for he is our refuge.
Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath.
Do not trust in extortion, for they pride in stolen goods. For your riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong.
And you, O Lord, are mighty. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Pastor, is the epistle different too? The second reading is written in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. For now, on those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if they were not, it were not theirs to keep. And those who use the things of the world, as if it not engrossed them, for this world in its present form is passing away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Could we get our hallelujah verse first? That's all right.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark writes, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'm still convinced that it's the Santa Anas that does it. Although in my last interim, I was beginning into the Great Thanksgiving, which I've done for 20 years, completely lost my way, had no idea where I was, and found myself saying, on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus wasn't nearly as confused as I am. Had to start over again. It was a wonderful lesson. Everyone laughed. They were very kind. As I think I've mentioned to different people at different times, I grew up in Durango, Colorado, which is on the western slope of the Rocky Mountains. And when you grow up in Colorado, it matters whether you are on the western slope or the eastern slope. Well, Durango was on the western slope, which is, of course, vastly superior in all ways to the eastern slope. And which is where Estes Park is, so there. And when, of course, the Old West was very much a part of my cultural heritage. Durango had its share of horse riding gangs and gun-toting whoever's and lynchings and bank robberies and train robberies and mining and all of that sort of stuff that you associate with the Old West. And so, of course, I grew up loving Westerns. Westerns at the movies and Westerns on television, Bonanza and Gunsmoke and on, all of those. And in nearly all of them, as you may know, there is a hero and his sidekick. Rarely is there a heroine and her sidekick. It's usually a hero and his sidekick. Roy Rogers had Gabby Hayes, and Gene Autry had Smiley Burnett, and James Arness, Mr. Dillon, had Dennis Weaver and later on Ken Curtis. But of course, that wasn't limited just to Westerns. Sherlock Holmes had Dr. Watson. And Joe Friday had Frank Gannon. If you remember Dragnet, and I guess Dragnet is coming back now again with a new cast. Don Quixote had Sancho Panza. And even Tarzan had Cheetah as his sidekick. You remember Tarzan and Cheetah? Some of the folks in the earlier service, and maybe one or two here, aren't quite old enough to remember Tarzan and Cheetah, but I do. And it has to be said that these sidekicks, while they didn't get the same attention as the heroes did in the movies or the television programs that I saw, they very often did save the day. And in some instances, they saved the movie, because some of those movies weren't all that good, except for the sidekicks. And it's fair to ask, I think, if the heroes would have been such heroes without their sidekicks. Would they really have done so well without their sidekicks? It may even be fair to ask it about such heroic figures as St. Paul. St. Paul has what in the movie business would be called star power. Paul has a name. After all, he wrote most of what we know as the New Testament. There may be four Gospels, but there are 13 letters in the New Testament that are attributed to St. Paul. He may not have written all of them, but they're all attributed to him. That's star power. And we may wonder whether Paul would even be the Paul we know without his sidekicks. Today is the day of remembrance for three of them, Timothy, Titus, and Silas. And those were the readings that Betty began to read, and we had some confusion in the office about that. But those three are in here, Timothy, Titus, and Silas, who are all sidekicks of St. Paul. They variously travel with Paul. They remain behind to continue the work when Paul has to move on. They carry out special missions on Paul's behalf, and occasionally they even share his imprisonment. Timothy, for example, is the guy who delivers the first letter to the Corinthians to the church at Corinth. And Titus delivers the second letter to the Corinthians to the church at Corinth. Those are major works that we have. Silas goes with Paul on his second missionary journey, which takes them to Europe for the first time. So he's one of the very first Christian missionaries to work on the European continent. These three, Timothy, Titus, and Silas, in fact, are much more than sidekicks. They are co-workers with Paul. They are partners with Paul. They are fellow witnesses to the gospel of Jesus, whose ministries have every bit as much integrity as Paul's own ministry, even though it's Paul's ministry that we know so much more about. The sharing of the good news is no one-person job. It is a partnership. The good news is a partnership. Even Jesus, in Mark's gospel, refuses to work alone. I've always thought that's fascinating. He refuses to work alone. The very first thing that Jesus does after his baptism by John and his temptation in the wilderness is call disciples. That was the gospel reading for this morning. The first thing Jesus does is call disciples. Simon and Andrew, James and John, for starters. Eventually, he'll have 12 people in his inner circle. He will call them apostles, which means sent ones, or ones I have sent. They will start as students, learning from their master. But after the resurrection, those apostles, those sent ones, those co-workers will become front-line troops, so to speak. They will be the front line for proclaiming the gospel to the world. No doubt, Jesus would still be Jesus even on his own, even by himself. Jesus would still find some way to do the will of his Father, even if he had to do it all on his own. You could say that Jesus has star power. He's the one that the Gospels and the letters in the New Testament are all about. And yet, even for Jesus, it isn't a one-person show. It is not a one-person show. This proclaiming of God's kingdom, this proclaiming of the reign of God, this sharing of the good news, this shining as a light in dark places is not a one-person show. Jesus calls others to join him, others to work with him, others to work beside him, others to work on his behalf. And it isn't just pastors that Jesus calls. He also calls all of you. All of you. St. Peter's, as you know, is in a call process. And the goal of that process is, of course, to get a new pastor to lead the ministry of St. Peter's. But when that process is done, and when that new pastor arrives, and when that new pastor is installed, you both will be asked to make promises, pastor and congregation, not just the pastor, not just the congregation, but pastor and congregation. And you may notice on that day that the promises of neither pastor nor congregation is more important than the others. They are equally made, equally shared promises before God. You will be partners in ministry with your pastor. You will be co-workers with each other, and you all together will be co-workers with Jesus. No mere sidekicks and no extras. There are no extras and no sidekicks in the household of God. Only brothers and sisters in the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, all baptized in the same waters, all invited to the same table, all grafted into the same body of Christ. Clergy, lay, pastor, congregation, matters not. All grafted into the one body of Christ. Grafted in with Simon and Andrew and James and John, grafted in with Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silas, generation after generation, and please God, more generations to come. Follow me, says Jesus. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Everybody grab a pole. Everybody get a net. We have a lot of fishing to do. So let everyone say amen.